Megillas Esther Perik Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. So Achashverosh has sent a very crude demand. As Dr. Erica Brown says in her wonderful book on Esther, Achashverosh, celebrating his third year on a throne he inherited through marriage, was most insecure in front of his wife, who knew the full truth of his crass and vulgar bygone days. His demotion of Vashti was a statement about the distance he had come from his poor beginnings. As king, he finally had the authority to rid himself of an undesirable past by ridding himself of the one person who reminded him of it. And that's based on the Medrash and how it shows Vashti as noble birth and him of nothingness. One matter requires no interpretation. Vashti moved from person to object in the king's drunken stupor. So he's objectifying her. He's just making her as another trophy to show off. Vatma ein hamalka Vashti. Again, queen comes before Vashti to emphasize that. So the queen Vashti refused to come. And some of the Mefarshim point out something interesting. She refuses to come lavo b'dvar hamelech, to at the king's command for her to come. Asher b'yad ha'sori sim. And I think it's Rav Soloveitchik who says the fact that he didn't come to get her himself to try to convince his wife to come, but just sent menials, he sent underlings to go get her, that is tremendously insulting. Vayiktsof hamelech ma'od, and the king became very angry, v'chamasobu aravo, he was incensed and his anger burned in him. So he is absolutely outraged. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says something tremendous about this. These events progress. A half-drunk mob is feasting, indulging, and passing judgment on the beauty of the women. The Rav has a beautiful way of putting things. As events progress, we see a proud queen refusing to obey the order issued by her lord and master, and the punishment which was meted out to her. Now, these events are of no relevance on their face to the hundreds of thousands of Jews who lived in the Persian Empire. But as we continue reading, we discover the significance of these events and how they relate to our people. The conclusion is obvious. There are no neutral events in human history which the Jew may dismiss as irrelevant. The Jew is totally involved in all events and all major struggles. Even now, and Rav Soloveitchik wrote this decades ago, the future welfare of the Jew is dependent on the outcome of the titanic struggle between East and West. He meant Soviet Union and the United States and the Western culture, but it could just as easily be the Middle East and currently Islam. The Jew is tremendously connected to all of this. And so this story, which seemed to have nothing to do with Jews, has, of course, everything to do with the Jews. So Vashti refuses to come at his command. So the king turns to his experts. The king conferred with the experts who knew the times. So they understood, the wise men who understood the times. So Gemara Megillah, Yud Beis Amud Beis, says that this is the rabbis, the Chazal, who knew how to fix the timing of leap years. But Ibn Ezra says this is astrologers. He wants trusted counsel. So first he goes to the Jewish sages, and the Gemara brings down, they thought to themselves, if we condemn the queen to death, and as soon as he gets over being hung over, he's going to be angry at us for arguing. But if we pardon her, then he's going to accuse us of not having enough reverence for the majesty of the king. So what they did was they hedged, and they said, since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we can't judge life or death. The Sanhedrin can't meet that way. So go see wise men of other nations, and so that's what he did. So an interesting Gemara that says that he checked with the Jews first, and they refused to get involved in this. Ki chein dvar hamelech lefnei kol yodei das vadin, because this was the king's procedure, this is how he went. He would turn to those who knew law and judgment. Again, maybe a reference, as we did in the introduction, to the idea that he's not a king by might, but he's a king by will of the people. And he's always conscious of that, so he's nervous. He's always asking other people what he should do. King Achshverosh comes across as a very passive and difficult person who really doesn't have a whole lot of smarts and political savvy. He needs other people. And Rav Soloveitchik is going to call him outright stupid at the end of this parak, as we're going to see. Vahakarove love, and who were those closest to him? So again, he doesn't go to objective experts. He goes to the people who he holds in sway, which means your yes men are going to give you answers that are designed to placate you rather than the smartest answer possible. And we know one of them has in mind to manipulate the king into doing this. And who are they? Karshana, Shesar, Admosa, Sarshish, that's four, Meres, Marsana, Memuchan, Akron, Akron, Chavid. Memuchan comes in last. The tradition, of course, is that Memuchan is Haman. Shivas, Sorei, Forasu, Modai, the seven officers of Persia and Media, Roe, Pnei, HaMelech, who had access to the king, who saw the face of the king all the time. So Persian kings were usually accessible to the public, but this king made himself most accessible to his upper-level advisors. Hayoshrim Rishon Abba Malchus, who were at the forefront, who sat first in the kingdom. And what did he ask these allegedly wise men? Kedos Mala Asos Bamalka Vashti. To ask what should be done. Now, Kedos implies legally to Queen Vashti, Bamalka Vashti. So we said before, Vashti Hamalka. Now we're saying Hamalka Vashti. So maybe that implies that he's very aware of her status and her lineage. She's a blue blood. Ki al kol hasorim. Oh, I'm sorry, skip the pasuk. Al asher lo asasa esma amar hamelech Achashverosh, for not obeying the bidding of King Achashverosh before it was Devar, now it's Ma'amar, biyad hasorisim, that was brought to her, conveyed by these chamberlains, by these servants. So again, the Megillah is really underlining for us the idea that Achashverosh refused to do his own dirty work. He would send minions and menials to do it. And so she goes from one who embodies royalty, Queen Vashti, to, as we're going to see in a moment during the discussions, she's going to be just the queen. So she's not going to have title or favor, and then we're not going to mention her again, except at the beginning of Perek Beis when there's regrets.